Well, hey, thank you for taking time out of your busy day for God and for being able to pray with me. This is one of the highlights of what I'm able to do every day, just to intercede and to pray. We come together. I feel the power. I do. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit in sometimes very palpable ways. And I ask you to pray for me. I need your prayers and value them. I know that I'm always remembering you in my prayers. I want to just share a couple quick answered prayers here, too, because I think they're great. This person writes, Shalom. Good morning, Drew. Wanted to thank you so much for squeezing me in on the air yesterday during the chapel to pray for a family member who committed suicide. I also asked for prayers for myself for a return mammogram. I was a little nervous about that, and I was having it today. I remember her call. She was like the second or third call yesterday, and she goes, I just want to let everyone know, thanks be to God. The results came back fine. Everything looks normal. And I was not aware that they had seen a spot in my previous mammogram. I was told that the spot, well, Drew, it's no longer there. God is so good. It was just so wonderful to pray the chapel live with you again. Welcome back. Thanks for your prayers. Hey, thank you for your prayers, Christine, and congratulations. You know, we hear these stories all the time during the chapel, don't we? People who have masses and tumors and aneurysms, they just disappear. One woman crippled with osteoporosis, it just disappeared. She was miraculously healed. So why do we limit God when we pray? Because a scan says we've got a tumor? Because, you know, our blood work has come back? Because our finances say we'll never get out of debt? I don't believe it. I don't. Your life can change in an instant. I remember hearing a story one time of a man. He was dead broke. Now, he probably didn't do the right thing, because what ended up happening was he had a dollar left, and he lost everything. He was actually now homeless. And with the last dollar he had, he went in and he bought a lottery ticket. And you know how the story ended, right? He ended up winning the lottery, and he was able to get back on his feet, to rectify all of his debts, etc. The point is not go out and buy a lottery with your last dollar. The point is that life can change in an instant, right? It can flip on a dime. You can go from 180, you know, and head completely in the opposite directions. One day you're under the wheel, the next day you're on top of it, right? Today you might feel like the tail, tomorrow you'll be the head. I'm telling you, God can reverse your situation. I believe that, and I believe prayer does that. Another person wrote to me and they said, hey, I emailed you a few months ago asking for prayers for my son, that he get a better job. I listened when you talked about fasting with prayer. Drew, I want to let you, my son just accepted a job that will allow growth and with a company that has a healthier work environment. And I added that to the mix. And I just want to thank you for your prayers and for the Divine Mercy Chaplain. And thank you for another answered prayers. Praying for peace with you today. Well, thank you. I'll keep your name anonymous. I'll CM. I'll give you your initials out there. God hears prayers. Again, in his time. I'm grateful for everyone who's written. A lot of petitions come in. Maggie will share yours on Twitter, and you can go to @DrewMarianiShow if you want and post your intentions there. I, of course, see several of the emails that come in, and this person wrote to me, says, look, Drew, a family member needs prayer due to her brother causing mischief between her and her elderly mom to the point of a restraining order. Could you pray for the mom and the daughter that they'll be reunited? Thank you. Narcissistic tendencies are involved. So let's pray for those with personality defects. Let's pray for division in families, broken relationships among family and coworkers, neighbors and friends. Let's pray for your intentions now too. I'm joined by my colleague, Jim. And Jim, it's always good to pray with you. I'm so grateful to do that today. How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. Good to be with you as always, Drew.
How's your wife holding up? We've been praying for her still.
And I thank you so much for that. And I want to thank all the listeners for their outpouring of prayers and supports. She's doing a little bit better every day. And so thankfully, after her 10 days in the hospital, she's been gaining weight back, and that's a very good thing. She's feeling stronger, but now the attention is shifting to what the next plan will be for her treatment, because the treatment she was receiving is what caused the side effects she was suffering from. So prayers for her to have a new good treatment plan. And I want to pray for all the listeners and for everyone who has been praying for us and supporting us in this battle.
And we just take our health for granted, don't we, until you don't have it. And what a struggle, not just for the person who's carrying that cross, but for you as a father, for your young children. And, you know, we'll pray for you now, all right? We'll just once again entrust God. And let's thank him for the blessings that we have. Let's not forget to thank him. But at the same time, let's ask for real miracles. This is a time of miracles, I believe it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call today from Pam, praying with us in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Pam. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I am calling today. My father-in-law is ill in the end stages of cancer. And my brother-in-law, who's the executor of the estate, is putting a lot of pressure on him to get to the estate money now. He's really putting on a lot of pressure. He wants the money. Me and my husband have all but been pushed out. We can't... We're not involved with that aspect of his life. And so his caregiver has all but said it's elder abuse, the way that my brother-in-law is speaking to him. And I'm just calling and know that that this is such a strong prayer community, and I do believe wholeheartedly in the mercy of our Lord. And so I just wanted to call today for prayers.
Well, I'm glad you got through. I'm sorry that your family has got to go through that. You know, money does a lot to divide people. I've seen more division after somebody's passed away and in the process of that. And let's just pray for that unity. Let's pray for the healing. Let's pray for the conversion of your brother-in-law. Let's just pray for the passing of your loved one as well, for your father. And I'm sorry, to lose a parent, you know, is a difficult thing, Pam. And I want to lift you up right now and just ask God for your mercy. I often go back to, I think it's Diary Entry 148, where the Lord told Faustina that a noble and a delicate soul, even the most simple, right, it sees God in everything. And he says, that soul, if it places its trust in God, it won't be confused when times of ordeal come. You know, know that God is always the best of fathers. And let's turn to our Father right now. Let's turn to him. You know, let's ask him to really intercede, that our Lord will come as a merciful Savior to your dad. But I really pray for peace now, Lord. I come before you. I lift up Pam in this family situation. I pray for all those where there's division within the family, especially over finances or over estates or over the passing of a loved one or the treatment of a loved one. Lord, I pray for those who are victim of elder abuse. But I really give you this situation. I just ask right now that peace and unity and clarity and justice and mercy prevail. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from New Jersey. Maria, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm calling because I have a little sister who, I'm 73, so my little sister's 62, I believe. And in November, she was fine. In December, she went for a doctor's appointment. They sent her for tests, and they found cancer all over her body.
Oh.
I just can't believe this. And she was in the hospital, and now she was sent home on hospice because she is dying. And I've been praying so hard. I'm so glad that I was able to get through. So maybe with more people praying, we can get her out of this horrific state. If it be God's will that she heal, that she would heal and have a life. Poor girl suffered so much all her life with her personal problems, marriage, everything was bad. And this poor thing.
Maria, what's your sister's name?
My sister's name is Jenny.
All right, so we're going to write her down now. I know your spiritual family here. You're one of our family, you know, and we're all so united in prayer. I just love this. Wherever you're praying, we're going to pray for Jenny, for her health. If it's God's will that she be healed. If God's going to call her home, then we pray that her passing be beautiful. But I want to pray for you. I know you're calling, you're asking for that healing. Let's pray. Let's pray for it, okay? I don't know what God's will is, but I'm going to pray for you right now, okay? And Lord, I just ask that you take Maria, who is already so distraught over her sister who she loves so much, and you fill her heart with peace, and you allow her to feel your presence and to really submit to whatever your will is. And Lord, I pray for her sister. I pray for Jenny right now. Cancer, Lord, is not bigger than you. I say it all the time. As cancer cells can be vanquished, you've raised the dead. Jenny can get up out of this bed today, this very moment, if it be your will. So I pray for miracles as I do every day. I also pray for your will and the grace to accept it, whatever it may be. I know our journey is to be with you one day. And if this is the doorway to eternal life, then we just ask that it be an anointed one. But I give you Maria, who's not alone. So many other family members praying hard now for their loved ones. I give you Jim and his wife, and I give you so many others who carry this horrible cross. And I pray for a cure to cancer and the end to this wretched disease. I turn to you with trust as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And if you're praying right now, and you get an answer to your prayer, I'm getting a sense that God is hearing our prayers, you know, please write to us. Write to me, drew@relevantradio.com. drew@relevantradio.com. Just in the byline, put answered prayers. Let me know how God answered your prayers, how that miracle took place, how that new door opened, how that blessing came. All right? If you need prayer, you can always email us at the same address or go to Twitter and put up your intentions. I know Maggie is, she's monitoring those intentions now. Maggie, what can we pray for now?
Sure. Carol wrote to us and she said, please pray that I can be healed of my diabetes that I've had for the last 20 years. Deborah wrote to us and she said, Patty has just discovered two spots on her lungs that may be cancerous and is also now facing homelessness. She needs a lot of prayer. And I, you know, sometimes you say that there's a theme during the chaplet, and cancer today is definitely the theme. We've had a lot of other people write to us about cancer and lifting up their loved ones that are dealing with that. So I ask for their healing and restoration. Kyoto's asking for prayers for his wife, who has just tested positive for COVID, also getting a lot of COVID tweets. And then I would just like to lift up a personal prayer for anyone discerning their life's vocation, whether it be religious or in relationship, that God guide their steps towards peace.
Amen to that. I want to pray for the homeless. I know a person right now is trying to get back on their feet. And for those who battle addiction, those who battle homelessness, those who really need God's mercy and new beginnings, lift them up. Let's include Josephine, who prays with us in Ham Lake, Minnesota, in this third decade. Hi, Josephine. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call, and God bless you in this ministry. I would like prayers for my husband, Ed, who is suffering from COVID pneumonia, is 26 days in the hospital. I pray for the total healing of him and his lungs. Thank you.
Amen to that. Let's pray for that right now. All right, Lord, I just ask that from the moment we pray these prayers, his condition begin to change, his health be restored. I pray for all those with pulmonary issues today in particular, Lord. And we turn to you with all these intentions that we just voiced to all those in our heart. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Peter's praying with us in California. Hi, Peter, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I'm calling for, my mother was a great fan after she read your book on the Divine Mercy. She would say it at 3 o'clock.
Oh, praise God.
I took her to the hospital on Sunday, and they threw in a COVID word, so I never got to get her the last rites. But I want to acknowledge two miracles that happened today. One, being able to get to the radio and ask people for the divine mercy of my mother. Her name was Juanita.
Okay.
My brother, who was a Vietnam vet, who left after my father died from the family, just contacted me.
Wow.
So I want to give thanks because of the divine mercy.
Aww.
And you've said it for my brother. Yeah. Who had brain cancer, and that's gone into remission, and lung cancer, that's gone into remission.
Oh, praise God.
And because of the divine mercy.
Wow. You know, you bring tears to my eyes, Peter. You really do. I'm so grateful for your call. I really am. I'm going to pray for your mother, and I am so sorry. It's hard to lose a parent, especially a mother. I know when I lost my mother, it was one of the most difficult things I encountered. But I know you're a man of great faith, and I know God's mercy prevails. You'll be reunited with your mother one day, and God's working in powerful ways. Cancer going into remission. Your brother now recontacting you. This is a prayer that brings about miracles. Lives are changed. God's mercy, it's his greatest attribute. No mind, be it human or angelic, he told St. Faustina, will ever be able to fathom the depths of his mercy. I think it's the great mystery of the afterlife. And I'm grateful for your call. Peter, I want to pray for you and the mission God has. I want to pray for all those now united to us. We lift up Peter's intentions. And Lord, I just ask again, I thank you for the answered prayers, for the miracles that take place. And I ask that you continue to allow those graces to flow for all who are seeking them from you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'll see if I can sneak a couple more calls in on this final decade here. Greg is praying with us. He's our brother in the north. He's praying Victoria, British Columbia. Hey, good to have you with us, Greg. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Drew. I simply like to pray that our Canadian Freedom Convoy remains peaceful and safe, and the outcome is favorable to our Lord. Thanks.
God bless you. That's an amazing story, and I am going to share more about that coming up in the days ahead. Let's pray for peace. Let's pray for resolution. Lord, I pray for an end to COVID and all the mandates and all the other things that seem to be affecting businesses and lives. We do pray for peace, and we do ask that you hear these prayers. I pray for all those in the battle against COVID and the great struggles that is presented for many. Ginny is in Manhattan, Illinois. Am I reading that right? Yeah, Manhattan, Illinois. Hi, Ginny.
Yes. Hi. I'm asking for complete healing once and for all from every addiction, especially drugs, for Amen. Owen. He's already lost his brother in a car accident 6 months ago and his father 6 weeks after that. His mother's distraught. This kid is awesome when he's clean, and he will be on fire for the Lord, but he needs complete, once and for all, healing from every addiction, especially Amen. Drugs. That's what
Amen
I'm asking
for. I'm joining you with that one. I've got a friend of somebody who's very close to that battles addiction. So I want to pray for them. I'm going to pray for Owen as well. I know everyone else is, and we're going to pray for the Lord right now for an end to addiction, for those who are struggling with alcohol, with sexual compulsions and proclivities, for those who are battling drug addictions, those who are overeating, those who are self-mutilating. Lord, so many of these different compulsions and struggles and proclivities, I just ask you break them, you bring healing to where there's woundedness, that you vanquish any dark or demonic spirit that might be fomenting these in some cases. And Lord, we ask by your precious blood that you bring healing from this moment forward. Let me sneak in Enrique. He's in San Francisco. Enrique, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Drew, for taking my call. I was calling for prayer intentions for my son, Christian, who had an allergic reaction to a medication, and he's in ICU in San Francisco.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, let's put him in the divine physician's hands right now, Enrique. Okay? We're going to pray right now for your son. Lord, I pray for all those in ICU, those who are in critical care. I want to pray in particular for this man's son, that from this moment forward, from the time these prayers are offered, his condition change, that you illuminate the minds of those who are taking care of him, and that his treatment be proper and his recovery complete. And I give to you now Jackie and Lilani and Josephine and Delfina and Mark and Teresa and Caroline and Sunny and everyone that's on hold, everyone who's written, everyone united with us right now in prayer. I thank you for this great gift of the chaplain and of your mercy. And I present my brothers, my sisters, to you now. As we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible. Look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Thomas Aquinas,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
Father Seraphim Mykolenko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. I am going to continue to pray for you and all of your intentions. Count on those prayers. Please pray with me. I'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Banger. The world is fake woke off the ambient. The devil stringing us along like a mandolin, telling us we're all gods. That's pantheist. The sea's god, the tree's god. That's blasphemous. You sell your soul on the road chasing happiness that only leads to death, no Lazarus. We're critically ill, need an ambulance. Doctor, take me to the baby born in Nazareth.
Jesus, your life connected. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Let me ask you this: will Christ be a Catholic or an activist?
It's good to be with you today. Thank you, Maggie. Another interesting rejoin. That's a good one. Maggie and I are always talking about the bumpers and the music that we play here. It's fun. I wanted to talk a little bit today about a story I heard about a week ago. You know, I've been away from the mic for, you know, several days at least. And I saw a story. I'd love your take on this. Father Paul Damaris is going to be stopping by in a few moments. We'll get his take on this as well. I saw a story not too long ago on the state of Christianity, and you take a look at where we are, and we've talked a lot about this, but I think the names, how you name a child, says a lot. The most popular names in the past 100 years, really, 1921 to 1920, were Mary, Joseph, Michael, right? Unfortunately, we are seeing those names diminish now. That was once the most popular name. As of last year, you know, they're nowhere to be found. No one's naming their child after the Blessed Virgin Mary or Joseph, Michael. Biblical names from the New Testament are largely out, except for James. That seems to be there. Again, this is 2021. Top 10 names for boys: Liam, Noah. That's an Old Testament name, though, right? You know, we take a look at some of these names that were out there that used to be popular. They're out now. I saw a story about a child that was named Lucifer. And maybe you think, well, what's wrong with that? Yeah, it's a popular TV show. There's movies out there, you know. Lucifer, you know, is an angel of light. Well, it's a fallen angel, right? Not a whole lot of babies being born around the world today, too. And that's another factor. A lot of countries, including our own, are seeing fertility rates go down. So perhaps naming your children has become, I think, maybe a more important task. I don't know. When God created the world, remember what the scripture tells us? Genesis tells us that he brought the various animals to Adam, right? And he wanted Adam to see them and name them. And he gave them names. Adam named them. For ancient Hebrews, naming something meant that you had, you know, some sort of dominion over it. It meant giving them an identity. That's why, you know, you see so many times in the Bible a person's name being changed to signify some kind of special role that the person's going to play in salvation history. Unfortunately, as our society moves away from Christianity, we're also moving away from giving our kids, I guess, those Christian names, or even calling them on, you know, to higher things. The New York Post, they ran a story. And names from pagan gods, right? Pagan gods and goddesses like Atlas or Athena, Aurora, the Irish goddess. You know, is it Maeve? I think as the name I'm trying to recall, or the Norse god Freya. I mean, they're all becoming really popular names right now. Names like Saint and Creed are moving up the list. But, you know, biblical sites like Jericho or Galilee, Nazareth, Cana, those are also becoming more popular, but not the names of great and heroic, noble, saint-like people. What's disturbing is the number of people who are naming their children after demons. And I think you have to be really careful about this. Okay, you want to name after a city, Cana, that's great. It's a beautiful name. But you want to name your child after something that's demonic? People are naming their children after demons. You speak to an exorcist about this. I remember watching, I think it was 2020 or Prime, it was some show years ago, and they interviewed somebody, an exorcist, and he shared the name of the demon on the air. And I thought, how dangerous is that to start conjuring the name, or not conjuring, but reciting the name of this particular demon? Very popular show on Netflix right now called Lucifer, about a human appearing, people who are naming their child Lucifer is on the rise. The name itself, you know, people would argue is, hey, Drew, it's Latin. It means light bearer or morning star. Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's beautiful. I'd love to name my child light bearer or morning star, right? The original Lucifer, as you know, a great seraph, the highest of the angels, he fell. He became enamored with himself. He rebelled against God. And ever since, he's been plaguing humanity. He hates you and he wants to rob you of your eternity with God. He wants you to suffer for all eternity. And he's your enemy. Why would you want to name your kid after him? Some have named their daughters Jezebel. Jezebel. I can't tell you how many exorcists I've spoken to, friends of mine who are exorcists, who tell me about the spirit of Jezebel that they see in a lot of these exorcisms. The worst of the worst when it comes to the evil queens in the Bible, right? So it goes on and on. And I just want to talk about, I want to look at, if we can, what happens when we do this? Is it innocent? Does it not mean anything? Do we look at the origins of the name and not the person or the entity that it represents? Or is there something very dark about this? I don't know if I have time today, but I should share with you some really bizarre things that have happened around areas that are named after the devil. You know, when it comes to the devil, and Lucifer is the prince of them, right? Some could say it's happenstance. Others can say there's something more to it. There's places named after the devil in Lima, Peru, called Devil's Curve, where 52 were killed when a bus plunged over this into a seaside cliff. There have been a lot of horrible crashes there. Oh, it's the road. There are other places where this has taken place. Devil's Lake in North Dakota, where there was news of a person who killed, a person basically killed, and four others were injured in a boat accident there. The year before, two men were found dead inside a vehicle underwater there. There were people who were hurt or lost amid the surrounding cliffs in that area. In 1995 to 2014, 34 people died in boating-related accidents on Devil's Lake. In Wisconsin, there's also a Devil's Lake. A lot of mysteries there. Michigan. Snowmobile drivers died due to crashes. You might say, oh, these are all anomalies. How can you associate it with that? Niagara Falls, there's been so many mishaps that occurred around a gorge called the Devil's Hole or Devil's Hole. It was an area where Senecas once massacred dozens of European pioneers, where the Indians there did that. It was a nearby creek called Bloody Run. And look, it goes on and on. In Ireland, there's Devil's Elbow, right, where there's an extraordinary rate of incidences and accidents, you know, including head-on accidents and other deaths that surround that area. In Baton Rouge, Louisiana, you've got Devil's Swamp. In San Francisco, you got Mount Diablo. And I can give you case after case after case where things happen, like on Mount Diablo. One last one, and then we'll talk about it. On Mount Diablo, I had read a story about a 26-year-old man who fell, right? There was a woman who several years before took her 16-year-old son to the top of the lookout and shot him to death and then turned the .357 on herself. And look, anomalies? It could be. Is there more to it? way over in Japan is the Devil Sea, Mount Naomi, right? Where there are Bermuda Triangle-like tales that take place. Hey, look, it goes on and on. Devil's Gate, you know, Dam there in California, et cetera. So my question is, I'm just throwing this out to you, and we'll talk to Father Damaris about this. Is there more to a name, you know, than its Latin roots, to its origin, wherever it may come from? If a name is associated with a demonic entity, a spirit, even Lucifer himself, does it bring with it some sort of darkness? There was a woman who named her daughter Lucifer. She makes the case, it's completely innocent. He's the light bearer. Does innocence protect us? Well, let's talk about it. You're more than welcome to join me as well anytime. Feel free to call in. I'd like to invite into our conversation Father Paul Damaris, pastor of St. Mary's Parish in Charleston, Rhode Island. He works in deliverance ministry and would know better than any how to answer these questions. Father, always good to talk with you. Good afternoon.
Good to be back.
So let's talk about naming first and foremost. We see Adam naming the animals, right? God brought those animals to him. And then we see later the importance of God, you know, or changing names, you know, like Jacob to Israel, or, you know, there's other cases as well I could probably come up with. What is it about the power of a name and naming? And is there more to this than what we just see on the surface?
Yep, there is. What you're doing is you're taking authority over a person or a situation. For instance, when Jesus names Saul Paul, you're taking authority over his life. When he changes Peter's name from Cephas to Peter, that there is a power and authority that goes along with that. To make a long story short, when COVID hit and churches and places were in lockdown, people began to search. People began to look for answers, to look for instances of how, you know, the future was going to turn out for them. And so they would turn to seers and seances, and they would turn to witches, pagans, to try to get answers to questions that they had. And at the same time, taking on these names would give them some type of authority or some type of power that they were lacking or believed that they did not have in their life. So that they would take on the names because they believed that there would be a power to that name, authority to that name, that they could control, that they could speak to, that they could receive answers from. And so it began to grow. And the second area is that our media has cleaned it up. You know, they've cleaned up the dark side of what the occult is, the dark side of witchcraft, the dark side of Satanism. They've cleaned it up, and it's benign. Nobody can be hurt by it. We can control it. Kids' video games, kids' games that they can play on video games, or computers, they're led to believe that they can control the spirit world, and they can control these spirits, and in calling forth their names, take control over them. And so make these, or allow these spirits to do whatever it is that they want them to do. But the church has, you know, in its wisdom, been able to help exorcists to do two things. One, to, when a person is possessed, to be able to pray the prayers of exorcism over that person. But in the ritual, you're calling spirits forth by their name. You're calling these spirits forth by their name. Secondly, is exorcism of places. You were talking about some of the places that you had heard about and things that went on in these different places.
Yeah.
They can, when a trauma has happened to a place, when something demonic has happened in a particular place, it can call forth a spirit into that place, and the church has a ritual of exorcism to be able to deliver those places of that type of demonic force and influence. And it's a long answer to your question.
No, I get it. You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about the demon on Brownsville Road. There was an author who I had on my program. And I play this interview I did with him around Halloween. And, you know, he moved into a home that was incredibly disturbed. You know, there would be scratching on the walls. Lights would turn on and off. I mean, clearly there was an infestation or something in this home. And he began after, you know, bringing in shamans, which did nothing, and then Protestant ministers, which had brought the Catholic Church into it. And ultimately, the house had to be exorcised because there was something in it. When they did the research, they found out that on the very front yard where this home had been built, there was a massacre. So to your point where something dark or evil had taken place, it could allow that it may call that spirit into it. But it went beyond that. Maybe that particular spirit allowed what happened in that home in the 1920s when abortion was illegal on the second floor where a lot of these disturbances took place in the upper room. Where a lot of this took place, there was a doctor who owned the home, and he'd perform abortions there at night in his own home. So you could see what ultimately happened in that home. When you allow evil into a place, so often it does not want to leave. My guest today is Father Paul Damaris. We're going to take a short break. We're taking a look right now at what's in a name. Yeah, a lot of people are naming their children after demonic spirits, Lucifer, Jezebel, and others. When we come back, we'll take a few of your calls. I've got a packed program today and only have Father Damaris for a short time. If you want to get in, our number here is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Stay with us. The conversation continues right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
I'm a fan of yours. I listen to your replay at night on the Relevant Radio app.
It's the Drew Mariani Show.
Working graveyard as a mail handler.
On Relevant Radio.
It's good to be with you today. What is in a name? That's what we're looking at right now. And is there a spiritual danger, if you will? Is there a grit or a taint that comes when you start invoking these demonic names? Or worse, when you name your child after something that is demonic? Would you name your child Lucifer? Or would you name your child after, I don't know, some sort of demon? I don't want to mention the names on the air. I don't want to do that. My guest today works in deliverance ministry. He's a very holy Catholic priest. Father Damaris has been a great contributor over the years here with us. And he's the pastor of a great little parish in Charleston, Rhode Island called St. Mary's. You ought to check it out and say hello to him if you're ever in the area. Father, it's good to have you back. I do want to talk about this. As I was sharing, I think it was 20 years ago. It had to be 15, 20 years ago, maybe longer. I had seen the show where one of the demons that had been exorcised from this person came out, and it was shared on the air. And I remember mentioning the name or somebody was, and I thought, that's not a good idea. Let's talk about when people use the name of Satan or some sort of other demonic entity. Is there a danger in doing that? Is it you that is calling upon that spirit, or is that spirit calling upon you? How do you see that?
You start by calling upon that spirit, not really understanding or knowing what's the power behind that spirit, and that it is not a benign spirit. It is not a spirit that is going to work in your favor, but at some point, that spirit is going to turn on you. Over and over again, people who have been called themselves witches or Satanists or pagans have talked about you know, like when I'm working with it, when I'm praying with someone, they have talked about the fact that these things turned on them, that these spirits that they thought were their spirit guides, or these spirits that they thought could, you know, help them, support them, do whatever it was that they wanted them to do, these spirits turned on them and just created this sense of hopelessness and despair within them. And so that's a real danger when we think that we can control the spirit world through either conjuring, through circles of power, whatever it is that the person is trying to practice. It's just the opposite. The spirits control the material world.
Yeah. You know, I've got a producer here who sent me an off-air message, and he wants me to ask you, what do you think about teams that are named after devils? I mean, there's a team in his own area called the Red Devils, and there's a very high rate of suicide in that town. Could it be related? He's asking. And I know a lot of high schools have teams that are named after the Devils. I was never a fan of it at all. But your thoughts on that? Suicide rates? Are they higher?
It can create, and what it often does for a teen or a young person that doesn't have a lot of guidance around them, it can create a sense of curiosity. What is a Red Devil? And it can, create this desire to want to know more about this name, about this nickname, whatever. And you're going to often find that in the lives of teenagers, young adults, who don't have a lot around them to support them and to answer their questions and to talk to them about what it is they're doing. I tell parents all the time, especially through the pandemic, what is your child watching? What is your teenager watching on the internet? What's on their computer? What are they looking at? What is picking their curiosity? And I tell parents, to be vigilant about what your son or daughter is looking at, because now everything comes across the internet as, the truth, factual, nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to go wrong, and unfortunately, they get pulled into it, sucked into it, and to the point where it's too late to almost do anything if they don't themselves come looking for help.
That's really true. All right, let's grab a phone call or two. I know we have a few moments. Our number here, 888-914-9149. We'll go to California next. Delphina is listening to us there. Hi, Delphina.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was calling because we have a rental property, and several tenants have told me that there's something unexplainable there. They will be downstairs and hear noise walking and running upstairs, and there's no one at home but the person that was hearing this, who was downstairs. And we had it for rent. At one time it was vacant, and we had some walkthroughs, and one person started out with loving the house, and then when he got to the washroom, he said, "I can't go further. There's something bad here. I just can't. I'm sorry." And he turned around and went out the door. And so I've been there by myself. I've talked to this, I don't know if whatever is there. I've never been afraid, and there was nothing that I could see that would cause running upstairs. And so I just wondered what the father's thought was on this.
The church has a ritual for exorcism of places, because we do believe that spirits are real and that spirits can inhabit places. And spirits can do that particular type of activity. I would think, Drew, that's kind of short to be able to try and give a long answer to this, that there might at some point be a whole show on this. Okay. Disembodied spirits and, spirits inheriting places. But to answer her question, yes, spirits can manifest themselves. Spirits can be in places. And again, the church has a ritual in its ritual of exorcism, specifically to exorcise a place of demonic spirits that would be there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for your call. Thank you. I've got a question about sickness in a place. I remember years ago, a friend of mine had a house down at the beach, and they had a child that really was involved in, she had Buddhas and was involved in all sorts of stuff, and actually had to be exercised a little bit later. But when this family came into this home, there were all these disturbances. TVs would turn on, seats would look like they're being repressed. They'd hear people walking. But I'll never forget, they had like a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, maybe it was a 4-year-old boy at the time. My memory does something like that. But when the child came into the home, it became very sick, very limp. And the parents were so worried, they took him to the hospital. When he went to the hospital, he was fine. When he came back into the home, it seems like a sickness befell him. Can these spirits cause that sickness on somebody as innocent as a child?
Yes. Absolutely.
Wow. So will that spirit stay with that person throughout its life? Or is it because that person today has addiction problems?
Yeah, it can, because what we have become desensitized to the spirit world as a whole. And when you talk to some people about that, they'll say, "Oh, that's just made up. That's just fantasy." But that is real. This whole world of what we call disembodied spirits exists and can do that.
Yeah. Well, I only have about a moment or two left, and I want to leave it on a positive note here. In order to protect ourselves, of course, confession is worth more than, you know, one sacramental confession is worth more than 10,000 exorcisms, they say. But also safeguarding your home, right? Blessing your home, having sacramentals, being right with God. Some final thoughts for you on how to safeguard yourself against these type of problems.
Well, first, on the personal level, would be, you know, your sacramental life, prayer, scripture, the Mass, confessions, and then with sacramentals, also the rosary, but even to have you, but most importantly, to have your home enthroned, enthroned to the Sacred Heart and to the Blessed Virgin Mary, you know, and to call upon them to be the foundation of your, you know, the spiritual foundation of your home. You know, so a lot of, more and more people now are beginning, are realizing that, and are beginning to have their their homes enthroned to the Blessed Mother, to the Sacred Heart, or to both.
Yeah, final thought, don't name your child Lucifer, right? Jezebel or
absolutely.
Any of this demonic.
Absolutely.
Right. Hey, Father, thank you. I can't wait till I get to Rhode Island. We'll hang out. I owe you dinner,
all right? Okay.
It'll be fun.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it. That's Father Paul DeMaris. Say a prayer for him as well. I'm going to take a short break. I'll change gears slightly, but you don't want to miss what I'm going to talk about. Your health's important. How will 5G affect it? Stay with me.